Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Maseches Megillah Daf Ches. We begin a brand new Perek. Perek Sheni says the Mishnah Chatos Oif. If one designates a bird for the sake of Chatos, Rashi says, he designated it verbally. Bepeh. There's Mila at that point. Once he designates it as a Chatos, it activates the Me'ilah system. If one misuses it, he has committed Me'ilah. So it achieves a level of Kedusha which triggers Me'ilah. But once you start the actual process, Nimlika, once the Malika, the clipping of the head with the nail of the Kohen, which is a parallel to the Shechita by an animal, once that was done, so the Akrava process has begun, Nimlika, that elevates the carbon to a higher level, to a higher status, makes it more delicate, more fragile, and susceptible to things, to types of tumois, which would not have been an issue otherwise. Nimlika Huchshur became an able apostle to become disqualified if it comes into contact with Tful Yom, a fellow who had already immersed in a mikvah. He's just awaiting sunset. It's a weakened state of Kedusha, but if he comes into contact with this bird, the bird becomes puzzle. Now let's realize the Mishnah chose the word puzzle here. Did not say it's tummy. The Gemara will make that diuk. Tummy means that it's experiencing a tumor which is so severe that it can be transferred over to the next item as well. No, here it's sort of the last stop. It's disqualified. It's puzzle. But whatever residual tumor it has does not carry over. It's not transferable. In any case, it does disqualify this bird, the puzzle for him. Or Uvim Chusakipurim, a fellow who's awaiting the akrav of his karbanos to complete his purification process, like a mitzvah. So these are some, have some residual tumah elements within them, and they would disqualify the bird upon contact with them. Uvalina, if it stays overnight, it becomes possible. Because it's meant for today, it's already on the akrava track, it's meant to be processed today. If it's left overnight, it becomes possible. The third level is Huz Adama. Let's say the blood of this bird had been processed, had been sprayed onto the Mizbeach. So that activates all those elements as well. Chayavanel of Mishim Pigel, Meseratame. So Pigel status can be activated at that point. So if you had a Machshava to eat it, you know, next week, Pigel gets applied during the Zrika, which is the manifestation of this whole process, the conclusion of the Akrava, Noisavatame. Likewise, if it was left overnight, the material, the Yisra of Noisav gets applied. If one eats it, there's Karas Vatame. If one eats it when he's Tame, there's Karas as well. So it's a fully processed carbon, which activates all these halachas as well. Vein ba mila, but there's one discount. There's no mila at this point because, as we learned many times, once the hakrava process had completed, such as the hazor in this case, it's mutal lekayhanim. And once it's mutal lekayhanim, it's no longer considered exclusively kachi Hashem, and it deactivates the mila. Okay, so we discussed three levels of kedusha. Verbal designation gives it an element of Kedushas HaKarbon, which it makes it a Me'ilah candidate. Once the Hakrava process began, it's now enabled for disqualification through association with even just a Tful Yoyim, Chosakipurim, or Lina. Once the process was completed, it can activate Pigel Noisav Atame, but no Me'ilah. Katani actually possible Tful Yoyim, Chosakipurim, says the Gemara. Mishnah shows a reference to puzzle. So after the Malika, it's enabled for psul, but Tful Yoyim, Uvim Chosakipurim, Valina. The puzzle in, it only becomes puzzle if the Tful Yoyim touches Avalu Tumi Leib, but it will not achieve the level of Tuma to be labeled as Tame. Which means to say that the disqualifying element just disqualifies it and stops there. It's not a transferable entity to the next item. Avalu Tumi Leib, Masnissin Mani, Rabbani. Apparently, our mission is reflected on the Shittas Rabbanon, who hold that a Tful Yoyim's tumah is a weakened tumah, which has limited effect. It can only disqualify this bird upon contact, but whatever it is, it will not transfer to the next bird. The Sani, Webb, Braisa, where we have other opinions that treat the Tful Yoyim like a full-fledged, full-blown tumah. The Sani, Webb, Shol, Aymer, Yold, Tful Yoyim, Tchila, Lekoy, disregarding matters of karbonos, he's like a tchila, like the start, like a rishon the tuma, very high level of tuma. In which case, if you would touch the carbon, what would happen? That carbon becomes a sheni, one level below, but it's fully tamei, that would be transferred to the next item, etc., etc. Rabbi Omer, he's not really full blown, he's not a rishon, he's a sheni, a lower level tuma. But that tuma can also still be transferred. If he touches kodesh, he makes it tamei. Right? He said the word metamei because that kodesh isn't just disqualified; it's a holder of that tuma to the point that it could transfer to the next item as well. Metamei hakodesh. Of course, we've got in truma, which can't go past the shlishi. So since he's a sheni, by touching truma, he makes it pasul and it stops there because it can't go past shlishi. But by the Kodesh, when he touches Kodesh, he's a Sheni. Touches Kodesh, returns to Shlishi. By Kodesh, it goes even further. Kodesh is more delicate, so it can make even a Revi, it can make it possible. So, bottom line, both Abashol, who holds that he's a Rishon, or May holds he's a Sheni, would hold that the impurity that gets transferred to the this bird can actually carry on further. Unlike the Mishnah. V'chacham Oimrim, they say no. He can't make more than a pasul. Kashem shu pasul mashke truma. Vaichla truma, just like when coming into contact with truma, it just makes it pasul, whether it's food or drink. Kachu pasul mashke kodesh vaichla kodesh. Like when it comes to kodesh materials, he just makes it pasul. Which sounds exactly like the Mishnah. Amar Rav, no. Perhaps all would agree to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about what happens in Atoira. In Atoira, Tulyayim cannot make more than pasul. The Mishnah we just discussed, that's Midrabbanon, because he's reminiscent of a regular tamei, so we give chumris, we treat him as such to a certain extent. Amarav al abashol, koin abashol, truman atero, he can't do more than being poisal di kodesh. Malo sabakachem. Regarding kabbarnas, we gave him a malo, we sort of upgraded him, we gave him higher status of tumma. Shabinu rabbanu tfilim, the rabbanu treated it tfilim kirishin like a rishin. The rameya, we treat him like a sheni, like food which is a sheni. The rabbanu, no. Kivin the tovels, once he was tovel, since he went through that process, kalash. His tuma got weakened to the point that he can't really generate a high level of tuma. So even with Rabbanon, Pasul, Mashve, Tamei Le Mashve, he can just disqualify items that cannot make them Tamei. So we thought that our Mishnah, which indicates that a Tevoyim can't do more than Pasul, is only going to Rabbanon. Unlike Abashol and Ramey, who seem to hold that he has a high level of tumah, the answer is perhaps no. I'm just talking about Minat Torah, what his status is, but Rabbanon, perhaps he has higher level of tumah status. Who's the Dama Chayav? The Mishnah concluded that after the Hazah, the bird is now Mi'ilah free. It sounds like Mi'ilah free, but you can't eat it. Mi'ilah Deleka. Avali Surah Yika, but there's Isra to eat it. Why? What's wrong? Bamai, why not eat it? Hamamayna de Kayana, what's belongs to the Kayana to eat? Amr Chanina, we're not talking about a standard bird. Li Yaitse, it left the premises, it got pasul as a Yaitse. That's why you can't eat it. Rabbi Kivi, our mission is following Rabbi Kivi, the Amu says, despite its Yaitse status, Zrikam as Li Yaitse, Zrikam of the blood can accommodate even a Yaitse. So it can remove its Me'ila, but it's not going to permit it for consumption. After all, it's pasul, Abbas Achille, it's not meant for eating. Hence, the Mishnah indicated that you shouldn't be eating it. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, he quotes Amar Rav. We know that a Chatas Oif has a three-step Hakrava process, beginning with the Melika, step one, followed by Hazo'ah, spraying the dam straight out of the bird directly to the Mizbeach, and then it concludes with something called Mitzui. You squeeze out the remaining blood onto the wall of the Mizbeach. So the leftovers of the Hazah goes through a Mitzui process. Now, is Mitzui an essential part of the process? Is it critical? Is it Mi'akev? So if it's not done, it's possible? Or is it just optional? If there's blood and you do it, fine. But otherwise, it's not critical. So he quotes Amar Rav, it's not Mi'akev. Mitzui chatas oif inay mi'akev. If they fail to do the mitzui, it's not mi'akev. It's not critical to the process, because the main point is the hazah, the spraying of the dung from the bird. Mitzvah is a fifth, is left over. You do it, great. It's a mitzvah, but it's not critical to the process. In fact, the Tani Rav, in our Mishnah, had the girsa, who's a dama? When describing the process of the chatas oif, it says who's a dama. We have it in our Mishnah. Who's a dama? That relates to the hazah process. That triggers the whole system of pigul, noiser, v'tamei, because that's the essential element of the akrava. But he doesn't mention anything about mitzvah because that's not mi'akiv. However, Adabar Ava quotes Amar Rav, it is critical to the process. Mitzvah chatas oif is mi'akiv. So in contrast to animal karbanis, where over there the leftovers are not critical. So once you do the zrika of the blood, anything left behind in the kli, which is supposed to be poured into the yisoy, into the drain, even if that's not done, it's not critical. But by the chata, so if it is, this is the phase two of the blood application. You see, we're talking about blood still within the bird. So the mitzvah is connected to the hazah. It's the conclusion, so to speak, of the hazah. That's apparently how he learns. So first you spray directly from the bird, then you squeeze out the leftovers. It's miyakev. Without which it's not kosher. Rav Ada Brava Amar Rav, mitzvah chatasoif miyakev. And in fact, Betani Rav, according to his version, Rav's wording of the Mishnah was mitzvah dama. Instead of who's a dama, mitzvah dama. Because he holds that mitzvah, as Rashi says, nami ikar mitzvah have you ma'akev. Mitzvah is just as critical as the hazah. It's ma'akev, the system. Therefore, the Mishnah refers to that as the final step, the final conclusion of the hakrava process. Toshma comes a raya. Vanishar badon yimotzei. Does any leftover blood in the bird? It's meant to be squeezed out. El yisere mizbeach. Chatasi. So chatas, it sounds like it's an integral part of the chatas process. That works according to the second shita. Bishlam la ravada bar ava hainu tachsiv vanisha vadam yimotzi chatasi. According to that opinion, we understand chatasi relating to the mitzvah because it's important, it's critical. That makes it into a chatas. El rafuna, according to the first opinion, it's not critical. My vanisha. What does the pasuk mean? Whatever's left over makes the chatas. It's not even critical. The answer is, the Tan Veri Shmuel, She'im Nishar. Tan Veri Shmuel as well. Learned that it's not critical, but Nishar means if there's something left over. And you do it, fine. But it's a mitzvah, but it's not miyakev. So what does the pasuk mean, Chatosi, which sounds like this is the critical element of the Chatos? Why Chatosi? It's going back on Reisha, on the beginning of the discussion, where it talks about the Hazo'ah. So the hazah, the malik, all that is critical, but not the mitzvah. Amalei Rav Acha b'drav Rav Ashi. So you mean vanisher means if there's left over, you do the mitzvah, but it's not critical. We find a similar term regarding a mincha. Let me out. If that's the case, mincha by mincha, it says vahnoiseres, whatever is left behind after you pull out the extract, the the kmitza, which is meant to be burnt on his back, whatever is left behind, the shirayim, is meant to be consumed by Aaron, the sons, the kehan. Sounds like, well, if you have leftovers, which means to say it's not critical to have leftovers, but that's an issue because we know that if the shirayim, let's say he did a kmitza and some of the leftovers went missing before you got to do the haktara, the burning of the kmitza on his bed, before you completed the hakrava, some of the shirayim is missing, it's possible. Well, you'll think, wow, big deal, it's just shirayim, it's leftovers, which anyways don't go on the mizbeach. The answer is it's one single entity, the kaimetz and the shirayim, and the kaimetz represents the shirayim, it's all part of the same akrava process, so they have to be around during the akhtara of the kaimetz. If there's something missing in between the kmitza and the actual akhtara, the mincha is possible. Oh, what do you mean? It says vaneseres, which sounds like it's optional if there's left over. So there too, achanami, there too, you're going to say, she'im netoyser, if there's something left over, which sounds like it's not important, it's not critical. V'chadem achanami, perhaps that's true. V'atani, we have a brayse, it is very critical. Pasuk says, we turn to the next domain. Misolto, umishamno. So he takes the kaimetz from its flour, from the oil, akol v'nei so. We learn from here, solto, shamno, it's got to have Everything intact, nothing missing. Prat, as opposed to shechasro salt off the, some of the flour went missing. Any of the material went missing. Vachasro shamno, the oil. Vachasro levayna, so levayna went missing. So you see that even though we have the word v'haneseres, it's not optional. It's very critical. So here too, why do we interpret v'hanishar as something optional? The answer is v'hanishar means optional. So why over there is it not? Because the v'dira too repeats it. And whenever we have repetition, it denotes criticality. Amri, the answer is Hasam Ksiv Aniserak Sari Serak. Over there it says Aniseras twice, Rashi learns. It's twice. It's for emphasis to tell you that actually it's critical. Masiv Avodish Shmuel Rav Huna. So you presented a kasha to Rav Huna. You're saying that the mitzvah by the Chata So'if is not Mi'akiv. Now let's just think for a second. We have to point out that this whole discussion is particular to Chata So'if, which already has that Hazah, and the mitzvah is just the sort of the conclusion relating to the remnants. Is it Ma'akiv? Is it not? That's our discussion. But by Oila So'if, where there's no Hazah at all, there is just a two-step process, starting with Malika, concluding with a mitzvah. There's no spraying, it's just squeezing out the roll. Certainly there, that's all you have. It's the only process that relates to the Dam. Of course it's Mi'akiv, no question about it. So again, Chata So'if has three steps. Malika, followed by Hazah, concluded with Mitzui. Question is, Mitzui Mi'akiv? By Eilas O'if, it just has two steps. Malika followed by Mitzui. And certainly Mitzui is Mi'akiv. Now the Braisa pairs them together. It says like this. Whether it's a Echad Chata So'if, or whether it's a Echad Eilas O'if, Shemalkan, he did the Malika. Or Mitzui Dama. Or did the Mitzui. With some invalid, you know, inappropriate intention. Chuslim Kayman, the intent to process it out of the premises. It's puzzle, but there's no kares for eating the material. It's not pikel, they ain't by kares. But if you had a machshava chuslas mana to process it in a week, to eat it in a week's time, pigel, that's your full blown pigel. In which case, if a person eats it, he's liable to kares. Because he had this intent while he was processing the carbon, while he was engaged in the critical phases of the akrava, malika, mitzui. Now, since when is mitzui critical for the chatas? Ktani miyas mitzah daman. Braisa clearly relates to the mitzui stage, and we're assuming it applies to the oila saif, where we certainly understand it's critical, even to the chatas saif, where it's up for discussion. V'yarmachshava at that point, it generates pigle. Now we know a pigle can only be generated during the primary phases of akrava, shchita, kabbalah, alacha, zrika, or in a parallel system by the birds, it would be malika, it would be hazah. But here we're including mitzvah as well as something which is a critical component of the akrava process, which can generate pigle. Apparently, mitzvah, even by chata so'if, is miyakev. Who Moisevelo, whom the same one that posed the question, answered, let's study the Tani. The Braisa is meant to be learned in a split fashion, so to speak. Split application. Although the Braisa began by peering together the Chata So'if and Eilas O'if, but when the Braisa proceeded and referred to Mitzui as being something critical, that only related to Eilas So'if, where we understand there's nothing else with the blood. Of course Mitzui is Mi'aki, but the Chata So'if, perhaps not. Gufa, let's go back to Tanya Rishmoel, who taught us that mitzui by chata so'if is not miyakev, because v'hanishar means she'im nishar b'dam, there's something left over, you do it, it's a mitzvah. But Tanya Rishmoel, he himself taught us, Braisa from the same base medrash, Hasam over there, Mesech HaSvachim, Shiraim is miyakevin, processing the leftover blood is miyakev. Rukiva says it's not, Rishmoel says it is. And Rav Papa explained for us, we're talking about the Chata So'if, exactly our discussion. And the same Tana says it's Ma'akiv, and here he said it wasn't. Von Rav Papa, Mitzvah Chata So'if Yikavinayi. Of course, when it comes to pouring the leftovers of the animal carbon blood, that's not Ma'akiv according to anybody, but Mitzvah Chata So'if, which as he explained, is still within the bird, is still connected to the Hazah. That will be the point of discussion, the difference between Rishmoel, who says it is Ma'akiv, Rukiva says it's not, Rishmoel himself in our discussion seems to say otherwise. You're right, there are two versions of Rishmoel. Whether or not Mitzvah is Me'akev, Bechata So'if. Tere Tanai, there are two Tanayim, two versions, Aliba, in line with the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. So in summation, we spoke about the three phases, three levels of Kedusha, that the Chatas Oif experiences, initially there's a verbal designation, it becomes Kaddish to the extent that there's Me'ila, been activated. Once you start the Akrova process, such as the Melika, it becomes more delicate, susceptible to more, it's more sensitive to even residual sort of tumais. It's sensitive to Lina as well, but once you complete the Akrova process, such as you finish with the Azah, that activates everything. Pigal, Noisar, Tame, and of course that deactivates the Mila. It goes hand in hand, because now it's ready for the Kahan to eat. We discussed the status of the Tol Yoyim, various opinions, Min HaTorah, Min HaRabbanan. And we ran into the Machlekes regarding Mitzoy. So Mitzoy by Eilas Oif is certainly Mi'akev, by Chatas Oif, it's subject to Machlekes. All the best to you, Natzlach Rav.